Hello, I'm Richard Blakely, and welcome to this centenary podcast from Brick Court Chambers. This podcast is one of a series we are producing in collaboration with two social mobility charities with whom we have partnered during our 100th year. Both the Sutton Trust and Inter University work with young people from disadvantaged backgrounds to support them in attaining places at university and beyond. We are working with these charities as part of our desire to assist in making a career at the bar something that is truly open to all, enabling and encouraging the most talented minds to achieve and to enter the profession regardless of background is to the benefit of everyone. In this series, we invite the charity students to sit down with us and give them a chance to ask questions about members of chambers, about the profession, and about the social mobility issues that matter to them. In this episode, you will hear Keralos Brace, an inter-university alum who's in his final year of a law degree at the University of Sussex, in conversation with Emma Mockford of Brick Court Chambers. Among other things, they will discuss Emma's experience of the pupillage year and her top tips for succeeding at the bar. We hope you enjoy.
Good afternoon, Emma. It's a shame we can't actually meet in person due to COVID, but we'll make the most out of today.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to be here with you and to be chatting about these important issues.
I know you started off as a solicitor, which is not the most common route into becoming a barrister. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, as you say, my route into law, I took a slightly different path to others that have been interviewed for this podcast, in that I qualified and practiced as a solicitor before I came to the bar. I guess the reason for that was partly because during university, the law firms who were recruiting for training contracts and that sort of thing are, I think, or at least were when I was applying, much more visible than the bar. I mean, there's also the kind of financial security that comes with being a solicitor in a way that's different to going to the bar. So the firms will pay for you to do your LPC, and coming out of university, it felt like the kind of best option. So that's how I ended up being a solicitor for 5 years.
What would you say is one of the most significant skill sets that you've gained from the vacation schemes that you feel you've been able to directly implement into a role as a solicitor and further on as into your role as a barrister?
Vacation schemes, I mean, they're a great way, I think, of getting some experience. They tend to be longer than mini pupillages at barrister's firms. And so you can spend a few weeks during your summer vacations, and they're often paid. And I think they're a really good way of getting insight into what different firms do. And I, for example, when I was doing vacation schemes, I sat in like litigation and arbitration. I remember doing research notes for people on points of law. And those things are all really transferable, I think, when you start as a trainee, or indeed if you then go on and think, well, actually, what I want to do is go to the bar.
What type of work were you carrying out as a solicitor compared to you carrying it out as a barrister? And what differences in the characteristics of the work would you say are there?
So I think, I mean, it's a really good question. I think from, I mean, what I should have said earlier when we were talking about kind of then how I got to the bar is that I think, so I did 5 years as a solicitor in total, including my training contract. And I think, you know, the skills I built up there were really transferable. And when I came to apply to the bar, which I did a couple of years into having qualified as a solicitor, I felt like I was in a strong position to do that, because I had got an idea of, you know, litigation, of how the litigation process works. I'd obviously worked on quite a number of cases by that time. I'd done a lot of legal research. I'd worked with clients, and I'd worked with barristers. And I mean, that was the thing that really got me wanting to be a barrister, was when I was, as a solicitor, working on cases and engaging with barristers, including at Brick Court, actually, and thinking, oh, I really like the look of what they're doing. Barristers are in some ways perhaps the more homogenous group, because we're usually doing one of two things. We're either advising clients on what the law is, or we're litigating. We're going to court to find out what the law is and to try and advance our client's case on a particular fact or a particular point of law. Whereas the work of solicitors really varies, I think. So there are obviously some solicitors who are involved in litigation, but there are others who will have great careers but never go near a courtroom, and it's because they're doing transactional work, you know, maybe they're advising businesses. And so I think there are a lot of skills that come with that that don't really feature as much in a barrister's practice, including kind of project management skills, client management skills, those sorts of things. So I mean, for me, I think the difference between them depends on skill sets, and when someone's weighing up what they want to do, I think I'd say look at what your skills are, look at what you're interested in, look at what gets you going, and then think about how those map onto the two sides of the profession. Don't think that the job you end up doing at 22, 23, straight out of university is necessarily it. I mean, weigh all these decisions heavily, but things can change, and your view of what's important and what your professional interests are can also change over time.
What would you expect from a student coming to apply to do pupillage?
You can really tell who's thought hard about why they want to be doing the job in question, and also whatever technical questions you might get asked. So, for example, one of the things we do when we're looking for applicants for pupillage is we ask kind of mock problem questions, which might be based on a case, or they might be based on a judgment that got handed down recently. And we tend to ask people to do something like present an appeal from that case, or to talk us through some appeal points, for example, in the interview. And I think one of my biggest tips would be think really hard about those kinds of questions and prepare them from both sides, because they have normally been chosen precisely because they are arguable either way. And so you will often be asked to prepare one side of the argument, but the judges and the people who are assessing you in that recruitment process are going to have the other side of the argument very firmly in mind, and they're going to be asking you questions about the other side. So I think, you know, the goal of a lawyer is to argue things from both sides sometimes, and although you're trying to get to the right outcome from your client, thinking about things from both sides of the perspective is a really valuable tool, I think.
In terms of your pupillage, you know, your year as, you know, as a pupil, I believe there's seats to be undertaken. What seats did you undertake, and what made you choose those seats?
Yeah, so it obviously varies how the pupillage is structured from chambers to chambers. But what we do at Brick Court is that we tend to ask people to do some work in each of our kind of three core practice areas. So you would normally, as a pupil, spend time sitting with three different pupil supervisors. And one of them typically will do more commercial work. One of them typically might do more competition or Euro type work, which we do a lot of. And then one person might do more public law type work. And so that's quite typical, I think, across different chambers, that you will tend to be exposed in one way or another to the different areas in which your chambers that you've ended up at practices. And then what we do here is we have a mixture of work that's done for your pupil supervisor, and then some other work that is centrally assessed. And again, the extent to which people do that at different chambers, it varies. But we think that doing work for your pupil supervisor is a good way of, in particular, testing your work and your aptitude for work, because it means that you end up doing quite a bit for the same person. And so they can get a good view of what you're like over the kind of 3 or 4 months that you're sitting with them in the year. And so the work your supervisors give you can vary, but on the whole, I mean, the great thing about doing pupillage, I think, and the thing I really enjoyed about it, is that you're sitting with members of chambers who are maybe silks, or if they're not silks, they're normally senior juniors who are thinking about taking silk soon. And they tend to give you, because they want to test what your ability is like, some of the hardest stuff they've got on their desk at any given time. So they might give you a really knotty legal research problem that they haven't managed to get to the bottom of themselves yet. Or they might get you drafting a document that they've got on their desk and on their to-do list to draft, like a skeleton argument or like pleadings. And you'll tend to spend the time doing those tasks for your pupil supervisor. So a lot of pupillage, I think, is legal research focused, and that's what that involves. And then, as I was saying, we also have these other centrally assessed pieces of work that we do as a chambers to ensure that there's consistency across how pupils are assessed. And how that works is that we have kind of three pieces of centrally assessed work at two different times of the year, so we end up with six in total. And again, they reflect the chamber's different practice areas, and those are written pieces of work and they get blind marked. And then we also have oral advocacy exercises. So oral advocacy is actually something that really varies between different chambers, because some chambers, depending on what their practice is, might get you up on your feet in your second 6 months so that you're actually going into court and doing a lot of courtroom advocacy. Because of the type of work that we do at Brick Court, which is often quite large commercial or competition matters, we tend not to do that. Instead, we try to replicate the courtroom in chambers through these oral advocacy exercises.
The fear that a lot of people might have at my age, especially coming from a background where, you know, my parents didn't attend university, is that people may feel like they are disadvantaged, or the grades they have don't match what the firm is looking for. Would you say that experience can sometimes override grades?
I think it's a really good question. I think that when you're at the point of having got an interview for something, your grades have already been looked at, your experience has already been looked at, and then you just need to take people at face value, and you need to demonstrate that you can really be a credible candidate for the job you're applying for. So having thought hard about what that job is, what the skills are that it requires, and how you can prove to employers that you have those skills by reference either to grades, if you have them, or to experience, other experience, extracurricular stuff, or other work experience that you've done, is a really valuable thing, I think. What about you, Carolos? How have you, where are you up to, and what are you thinking in terms of future career prospects and decisions?
I've been very privileged. So I actually went to a state school. We come from a low-income background. And during A-levels, that's when I became quite career-focused. I chose A-level law, not really knowing what A-level law actually consisted of. Until I started the actual subject, I started studying the modules, and I gained a real interest in the various modules, including, you know, the criminal law, the land law, equities, and the support I gained from my teachers during my college time was absolutely amazing. And that's what really pushed me into my legal career. And they encouraged me to pursue this career. English isn't my first language. Arabic is my first language. And that can sometimes be a bit of a difficulty. But yet again, my you know, the support I had from my college was absolutely brilliant. I then got involved with Inter University, which is an absolutely amazing charity. They got me involved, and we started engaging. You know, student, I had a mentor, and we started engaging, and they helped me with my personal statement. They helped me get into university, and then they started providing me with legal opportunities to get involved in the real world. And that was really useful for someone who comes from such a background that I come from, because sometimes in today's society, we may feel that we're disadvantaged. They provided me with legal opportunities, such as working with Bank of America Merrill Lynch for 3 weeks in their legal department. And what that internship actually provided me with is the skill set that got me into university. I then started university in 2019, and I chose to study law purely because I feel like I can make a difference in today's world. I feel like there's people like me out there who feel like they're disadvantaged. They feel like, you know, their backgrounds don't suit the career, but that's not really how it works. There's always, you know, there's a chance for everyone. And in today's legal system, we know we need the diversity. We need people from all around the place, people of different backgrounds.
I think that's so true, Carolos. And I think, you know, a really important point is that there is no one-size-fits-all thing out there, and there is no specific type of person that makes a good solicitor or makes a good barrister. Yeah. Variety is what it's all about, and we really need that diversity.
It's been an absolute pleasure, Emma. Thank you for having me today, and I wish that in the future we could meet in person and be able to work and hopefully secure a pupillage myself. So thank you very much for today and for your time. It's been a really useful session.
Not at all. It's been great to speak with you, and I wish you all the best for your future studies and professional career.
You can find out more about our partners for this podcast, the Sutton Trust, at their website, www.suttontrust.com, and about Inter University at www.intertrust.com. intouniversity.org. There are more podcasts featuring current and past members of Brickcourt Chambers and more information about our centenary year and applying for pupillage on our website at brickcourt.co.uk. Thanks for listening.